It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
Some English spellings could be described as a museum of earlier pronunciations, which helps explain those silent letters.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and I'm joined now by University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Anne, take us through this museum of letters.
I'm going to do this because of a question from my friend's daughter, Aparajita, who on her way to school with her dad said, "Dad, what's the point of those silent letters in English?" And her dad said, "We should ask Anne." And I'm delighted to get the question because those silent letters often have stories behind them, stories about the history of English spelling. Let's start with that final E.
The final E, just hanging out there at the end for who knows why. Why, Anne?
Well, it represents an earlier pronunciation. We could take a word like name, N-A-M-E. That in Old English was nama, N-A-M-A, where you actually pronounce that last syllable. That last A over time became an spelled with an E, so you would have nama. And then the spelling got standardized, the final sound got lost, and we end up with a silent E at the end. Now, sometimes this worked out differently. The word meat, M-E-A-T, actually also had a final vowel at the end. In Old English, that was meta, M-E-T-A. That A also turned into an sound, was spelled with an E, and then the sound fell off and the E fell off the spelling.
So long.
Now we have other museum-like things. The final G in a word like king.
See, I feel like I say it. I want to feel like I'm saying a king, but maybe I'm not.
In fact, if we listen to what you just said, you said king, and that final sound is what linguists would call a nasal. It's the sound
That's lovely.
Which is lovely to say on the radio on a Sunday morning. But actually, most American speakers do not say king. You will sometimes hear it, but for the most part, we actually end with a nasal sound. But it used to be pronounced, king was pronounced kuning, where you actually said the final G. That final G got lost, but it is preserved in the spelling. Now let's talk about another word that has two things preserved in it, and this would be the word knight, K-N-I-G-H-T.
Oh, the silent K. It's the bane of first graders everywhere.
And that silent K was actually pronounced. That word was pronounced knicht, which is just really fun to say. So you had that first, the initial K, and then the G-H representing a H sound, so knicht, and the initial G in gnat was actually pronounced at one point, so it was a gnat.
I kind of like that.
I think we might want to bring that one back.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
Then occasionally we have silent letters, which are the result of what I will call meddling. And a good example here is the word debt, that silent B. The reason behind that is that we borrow the word into English from French, spelled D-E-T-T-E. But in the Renaissance, when people were interested in classical learning, they said, oh, but it comes from Latin, debitum. We should show its etymology. Therefore, they put the B back into debt and introduced this silent letter into the spelling.
They just had to meddle with it.
Yep. So many different stories behind different silent letters. And it's why I like to refer to this as a museum of earlier pronunciations, as well as some meddling.
Well, it's been an enlightening stroll through the museum, Anne. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Anne Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan and the author of Fixing English, Prescriptivism in Language History. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday morning here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for That's What They Say. And while you're there, give us a review. We like to hear what you think.